Verses 6 through 9, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I got a typo in there, but you get the idea. You can look in your Bible as well. I'm calling this Signs Part 4. And again, I'm hoping to give you confidence in the Word of God, excite you about the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited about the fact Jesus is coming. And if it doesn't excite you, if it scares you, then perhaps you're not where you ought to be with Him. And that is my other goal for this, to motivate you personally to be ready, but also to motivate you to help those around you that are not ready to realize that they need to get ready to meet Jesus. Would you agree with that? He's coming, and we need to be ready when He gets here. Now, again, I want to bring something to your attention. 2 Peter 3:8 says that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So our time isn't exactly like God's is. And again, we make no predictions. But, all the signs are here. And again, it might be tonight. Today, tomorrow, it might be 50 years from now. I don't know. I couldn't make a prediction, but in my way of thinking, the way I see it in the Word of God, I believe that Jesus will be coming soon. Now, I thought about some amusing signs that I read about in one California town. It said, there was a sign that said, fishing for children only, limit 3. From one, another one said, bottomless pit, 65 feet deep. One in Texas said, on a balcony, it said, please be aware that the balcony is not on ground level. One in South Dakota, a sign read, safe haven, small animal hospital, hunters welcome. Another sign in California said, caution, blind drivers backing out. Another one in California said, antique tables made daily. And last, one in Washington said, happy Easter, we rent handguns. Not sure what that one's about, but I thought about those signs being amusing. The signs that we've been speaking about aren't amusing, and today they're not amusing either. They're serious stuff. This is serious stuff. And I have a few, and I'm going to hit them quick, and if I get through this, okay, I'm not going to go too long, but I do want to try and get through this list. I could say a lot about what I have here, but I'm going to keep it probably very brief on these signs that I believe are all around us. I hope Dale said something in Sunday school class this morning that really made me think and really kind of set me up for next Sunday's message, because I plan on finishing this up in 2 Sundays. This will be the last one like this where I just have a list. But I want to finish up in 2 Sundays, and I want to preach next Sunday on the irrelevancy of God. And that's what it seems like we're living in, a time when God has become irrelevant. And that sort of went along with what he was saying in the Sunday school class about doing things God's way or doing things man's way, and how's it working out for us? Not too good. But today I want to look at what Jesus gave us here, and we've already established the fact that this is literal. Jesus has given this some signs in here that have already come to pass, the destruction of the temple foretold by him in verse 2. So we know this is a literal. We talked last week about false prophets and deception all around us. Today I want to look in verse 7 specifically, and then a couple other places, but there's four that are given to us in verse 6 and 7. And Jesus says in verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, when you speak about wars, rumors of wars, skirmishes, all of these things, we would all agree that these things and these happenings have been going on for quite some time, from the Crusades, or from the Roman Crusades to the medieval Crusades to the Napoleonic Wars. They've been going on for a long time. But just a little food for thought here, and as we move through this quickly, I did a lot of research this week. As Josh said, I've had a cold, and so I was in more than normal, and so I did a lot of studying. In the last 114 years, there's been 357 occurrences that would classify as war, just in the last 114 years. And I want to bring to your attention again that time with us is not like it is with God. That seems like a long time to us. 114 years, it's over a lifetime. But with God, that's not very long if a day is like 1,000 years. So the last 114 years, 357 occurrences that are classified as war. In the world right now, there are 40 conflicts going on that would be classified as war. And last but not least would be Afghanistan. And by the way, in Afghanistan this year, there's 7 United States soldiers killed in January, 7 killed in February, and 1 so far in the month of March. But you probably never heard about that, did you? For some reason, it's not even newsworthy anymore. I don't know why that is. It's fitting that this sign would be this week, I believe, looking past this past week and seeing how Russia has invaded Ukraine and what's going on there. And I want to just bring to your attention that Russia is a major player in the last day's prophecy. And Israel and Russia making a league with Arab nations, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. Russia is very much a part of the last day's conflicts and skirmishes and wars that are about to take place. And so it's very fitting that they were in the news this week. And I read a headline by the first Ukraine president that was elected after they broke away from the former Soviet Union. And his statement was this, that Putin is leading the world to World War III. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. That was his assessment of the situation. But Jesus said nation would rise against nation. And certainly that is what we are witnessing right before our eyes, unfolding in the news right before us as one nation invades the other, jockeys for position, jockeys for the land that, it may contain minerals and things that they could use for what they need. But notice he says also that kingdom would rise against kingdom. And I think that's pertinent to us to realize that I believe that the kingdom of darkness rises even more in the last days because, listen to me, Satan realizes that he's only got a short time left. And I believe that he gets more active and more intense in his opposition to God and to the things of God the closer we get to the time of Jesus' coming. Now, I don't know that that's what Jesus meant when he said that, but I believe the kingdom of darkness is rising against the kingdom of light like never before. And so this is very important for us to realize. And again, I'm just going to hit the highlights. Notice the next one in verse 7, he says, and famines. Now, famines are hard for us to comprehend if you think about it. I mean, we drive down the street in the cities in which we live, and there are McDonald's and Wendy's and Arby's and all Burger King's and all these fast food restaurants, one on every corner, shelves stocked with food, you know, that just make your head spin when you go in these stores, Super K's, Super Walmart's. So it's really hard for us to comprehend this. I saw a cute cartoon this past week about a Chinese family, and the little boy was sitting at the table, on the ground, and he had his chopsticks, and his mother was looking at him, and she was saying, "Eat all your food because there's people starving in America." And I thought that was kind of cute, but you know, the fact is, it's hard for us to grasp this notion, but there are famines going on in the world now in Africa, Ethiopia, Somalia, West Africa right now. And one of the reasons are, and I believe this is pertinent to what Revelation teaches us, is water shortage will have a big effect on food shortages. And I don't know about you, but can you remember just a few short years ago, In our country, when rice, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, rice was being rationed. Do you remember that? There was a drought, and actually rodents in Pakistan, they come in and they can eat 150 acres of rice or tear it up in one, just overnight they can come in and tear this up. So, we're really just one drought away from our shelves being maybe not as stocked as we would hope so. And again, you know, in our country, it's hard to believe that 500 million people would probably go hungry, not in our country, but worldwide. 500 million people will probably go hungry this week when 1.5 billion are obese. And it's hard for us to grasp this, you know. But you know, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 6, there's a horse that comes riding in, one of the apocalyptic horses, and it is the horse of famine. And so God has told us about that through what Jesus said here, and he's also predicted it in the book of Revelation. And by the way, you know that it's also hard for us to understand that people could be going hungry in the world when 30% of our corn crop, it doesn't feed people. Guess what it feeds? Automobiles. They take the corn and they make biofuel out of the corn to feed the automobiles, and yet we're told people are going hungry. Something doesn't really add up. Well, there's wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences. Now, this is an important one, and I think this is interesting to all of us, because pestilence carries the idea, it implies the word given means death, destruction, and disease. And obviously, they go hand in hand. We know that. But, you know, in our day right now, you know, we hear on the news, If you watch the news at all, you'll hear about, particularly during when the flu season comes. You know, flus always threaten to be an epidemic, and you hear about bacteria and viruses and germs that become immune to antibiotics, and they mutate, and they're worried about that antibiotics won't help people in the future and all of this. Right now, in our world, there's diseases called mad cow. Now, you might think I would never have to worry about that, but I want to tell you something. I have a cousin whose husband died from mad cow disease. It's real. These are in our world. There's this disease called chronic fatigue syndrome. How many have that? See, I mean, you know, we joke about it, but it's real. And people get that, and they just literally cannot get out of bed. They just can't do it. Autoimmune disease. You know, that's something. Right now, at Ohio State University, guess what they're battling right now? Mumps. Mumps makes a comeback. Did you ever have the mumps? Oh my goodness, we used to get that. Kids don't really get that, it seems like, these days. But now it's making a comeback. And at Ohio State, they're about measles, scarlet fever, all these making a comeback. Diseases like tuberculosis, malaria, cholera, AIDS, still around. And let me just give you one word that every one of us on a daily basis hear, and that's cancer. All of us, every one of us here knows somebody or have personally been affected by this blight of cancer. And it seems, and I don't know, maybe it's just that I'm around it more and I minister to people more, but it certainly seems to me like as we go that cancer seems to be literally a plague upon our world. And I, you know, something's going on. Maybe it's a food supply that has to be pumped with growth hormones and antibiotics and all these things to feed over 7 billion people in this world, you know, to make the food grow it fast enough and make it big enough for us to be able to consume it. Or maybe it's, you know, cell phones and who knows? But the fact of the matter is that cancer in our day is so prevalent, and every time you turn around, somebody else that you know or in your family has been diagnosed with the disease of cancer. Jesus said that there would be pestilences, and that really, really covers it. And notice what he says in earthquakes. The next one on the list is earthquakes, and I said I was going to hit these fast. This will be the last time I give you a list like this in this series. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake. I never have. I've been in a tremor. I remember when a tremor was here, my wife and June were actually working together at that time when a tremor hit it. What was it, HMI? HMI. So we've had some tremors here, and this is not something that we think a whole lot about, earthquakes. But I did a lot of research this week, and here's what I find interesting. Now, we can all remember in 2010 when Haiti was hit with a little over 7-point-something earthquake, and it literally destroyed that nation. Now, remember in Japan in 2011, just a couple years ago, they were hit with almost an 8.0 earthquake, and really did a lot of damage. But you know, from 1986 to 1996, listen to this now, there were 15 recordings recorded earthquakes over 7.0 on the Richter scale. That's a pretty good earthquake, 7 point or better. There were 15 of them that are documented to have happened. From 1997 to 2010, there are over 100 documented to have happened in the world in which we live that is 7.0 or better in our world. That is, you know, sevenfold or sixfold or better in recent decades, decade and a half. And so the numbers reflect that earthquakes are happening more and more, and that doesn't reflect at all the thousands of smaller earthquakes below 7.0. By the way, Israel, the land of Palestine, is setting on a major fault line, and if you know your prophecy at all, you will know that one of these days that the Bible says there's going to be a major earthquake in that area, and I believe that will be part of what happens in the last days. Now, I hit those fast, but I hope to give you spend a little bit more time on the next three that I have for you, because I think it's important. Notice in verse 9, and I have it up there, but it says, "And they will deliver you up to be afflicted," and I got tribulation up there, but it should be "afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Now I want to give you the fifth sign today that I want to give you is Christian opposition. Because I believe with all of my heart that Christian opposition is something that's going to become increasingly more prevalent in the days in which we live. I believe that we, and I know that we live in an atmosphere where Christ is opposed by and large, and the people of God are opposed by and large. I referred last week to the Tim Tebow, Michael Sam's, two different perspectives. One, a Christian athlete who's been maligned his whole career. One, a homosexual athlete who came out and, was hailed and called and praised by the President of the United States because he did come out. More do you need to know about where our leaders are in the way they think? Now, a recent poll taken by pastors in last month, taken by pastors in large churches in the United States, all of them believe that our Christian liberties today are being are in danger, that we are losing Christian liberties. Now, I want to give you some headlines just from the last 3 months. These are headlines from the last 3 months, and I'm not going to read the stories, but just a few of them. I want to give you these headlines to show you what I'm talking about. Headline one, religious liberty in the United States faces sophisticated warfare, experts say. Number two, Christian rapper faces death threats for song opposing gay marriage. Number three, new law introduced to fight climate of intimidation towards religious viewpoints. Four, new bill in Idaho designed to protect religious liberty of licensed professionals. Five, why atheist lawsuit against In God We Trust should be thrown out. Number six, Christian business owners face hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. Number seven, hostility towards religion rises across the world. Number eight, teachers order California first grader not to recite Bible verse. Let me elaborate on this one just a little bit. A first grade little girl, in giving her report, within the report in a public school, contained the verse John 3:16. And when she began to quote, a first grade little girl began to quote John 3:16, her teacher immediately stopped her and told her to sit down, that she was not allowed to quote religious that verse in within the school system, and the school backed her up in the stand that she took. The next one, U.S. Department of Justice says religious beliefs trumped by health law. Now that's a biggie, because that goes back to the Holly Lobby one, and that goes back to Catholic organizations that have employees being mandated to supply health care, that goes to pay for abortions and not only abortions but for protection, that kind of thing. That's a big one too. Another one, Christians massacred worldwide. Where is the outrage? Let me give you one more. Judge orders removal of mountaintop cross in San Diego. And that's just the headlines, and there's many more than that. But that gives you the indication, or that gives you the realization, that we are living in a climate where religious liberty is being taken from us all the time. Christian opposition is very real. Jesus said it would be. He told them that they would be delivered up. He told them that they would be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know as well as I do that when you're in, maybe it's your workplace, maybe it's with friends, or maybe even family, that it seems to be okay to speak about God in generic terms and religious things at times, but when you begin to talk about the name of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you that makes the devil mad, because Jesus is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. And listen, the devil does not want the name of Jesus to be exalted. Not one bit. So we're living in a climate where religious liberty has been taken away by those who are in leadership. Now, this is an important one here, and I have this. I want you to look at the overhead, if you would. Signs in the moon. Now, this is in Luke 21, which is a shorter version of Matthew 24. But he has some verses in Luke from this Mount Olivet discourse that Matthew didn't share with us. So it's in the same setting that this is given. Jesus says there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It's interesting to note also, if you'll see Genesis 1:14. Notice what, I never thought about that until this week. But it says in Genesis 1:14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Now notice, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Now I never really thought about that before. But you know, God uses the sky that we look at like a billboard. You believe that? I mean, think about it. You know, he really does. And that's that word given in the Hebrew for signs really says that. This is God uses that to give us signs. Jesus said things would be happening in the sky and in the sun and moon and stars that would be an indication to us that His coming would be soon. Now, please understand that I'm not talking about UFOs. I'm not talking about X-File stuff at all. I'm talking about natural things that happen. Now, you know, some folks say, well, can they really be signs? Well, I want to just draw your attention to Psalm 19. Notice, remember what Psalm 19 said, the heaven declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, the stars above, the sun, the moon, all that we see, listen, they look out with those telescopes and they see galaxies far beyond. All that does to me is tell me God is a big God. Amen? That's what those tell us. When you look up and see the stars twinkling at night, just remember that there is a great creator that put them up there, and God says, look at this creation. Hey, I am real. That's what it's telling us. It's a big billboard sign for God. Romans 1:19 says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's the creation, to understand there is a God that has created all that we see. And He says His eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. Listen, how can anyone look at creation and deny there is a God? How can anyone look at an apple, how an apple is just perfectly formed, has a skin on it, within that juicy, succulent apple meat. You can eat all of that and then take the seed on the inside, put it in the ground and grow another apple tree and bear more apples. Let me tell you something. God is a great God, and the sky and the stars and the sun and the creation declare to us there is a God. And so it is as a sign. Now there's things happening, and listen, God has done a lot of things. I'll get to that one in a minute. God has done a lot of things in the past from the sky. You'll recall, I want to bring a couple things to your attention. In Joshua chapter 10, Joshua has entered into the promised land with the children of Israel. He's going to fight five kings, and who they are isn't important, but he's going into a big battle. And you know what God does? God rains stones, hailstones down from the sky to help him in this battle. And those that were left, Joshua fighting the battle, Joshua says, "Lord, I need some more time." And he says, "Sun, stand still." And guess what God did? The Bible says in Joshua chapter 10 that for about a day, God held the sun before it went down and the moon stayed on the other side. It was just at that time when you could see them both. And it says, God held it. Let me tell you something. God created this earth and God can stop the earth from rotating around the sun just when he pleases to do it. He's done it before, and so God is able to send us a sign from the stars. One more story in 2 Kings chapter 20. There's a story about Hezekiah, or not Hezekiah, but there was another king that got sick, and the prophet goes to him, and he says, "God's going to heal you." He says, "What's the sign that you would like?" He says, "Would you like the sundial?" Now, they didn't have clocks like we had, and we had to spring them ahead. He says, they had a sundial, and that's how they told time. He says, "Would you like the sundial to go forward 10 degrees, or would you like it to go backward 10 degrees?" You know what the king said? He said, "Well, it's easy to go forward 10 degrees. It's headed that way anyway." He says, "But if I'm going to be healed, how about we push that sundial backwards 10 degrees?" And guess what? God did it. God put the sundial. God changed the time, went back. However much 10 degrees is on a sundial, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Wouldn't that be something if God starts spinning things backwards? God's able. So there are signs. And listen, it was a star that led the wise men to where Jesus was, right? I mean, they seen the star. And please know that I'm not telling you we ought to look at astrology as a way to guide our daily lives. I don't believe that's of God. You see, that's looking at things that are created. God has created those stars to reveal to us, I am here. And the North Star can lead folks. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't be reading the astrology stars to find out what the future is. I would be looking to God. Not, don't look at the created things. Look at the Creator to learn about God. Think about those satellite pictures they send back from heaven. Think about all those beautiful things. And you know something else that I begin to think about? This might sound crazy to you, but listen to this. I had a lot of time. I was under the weather, and so I thought a lot this week. I was thinking about a depleted ozone, you know. I was thinking about how nowadays, you know, you really have to be careful how you're out in the sun. And what do people do? It's dangerous to get out there without protection, right? So people smear on that sunscreen and they protect their skin. And believe me, I'm not saying that's not a wise thing to do. It's a smart thing to do to protect yourself from the sun because of the depleted ozone. But let me tell you something. You know what? People need to take some more protection. Listen, if you don't have the blood applied to your life, when Jesus, the Son, S-O-N, comes, you're going to be trying to hide, and there will be no place to hide. Let me tell you, you need some protection today, and I'm not talking about sunscreen. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about this. Sun flares on the sun, and I gave you some wrong information, I think, Wednesday night. I said the sun was 35 times bigger than the earth. I think it's about 135 times bigger than the earth, and the core is not 270 million degrees Fahrenheit. It's 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Although once you get past 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, I'm not sure we could tell the difference. But it's pretty hot up there. But you know, lately, and you've heard about them. How many have heard about sun flares being thrown off the sun? Have you heard? Just last year, they were talking about sun flares blowing, and that's just energy that comes flying off the sun, and guess what it does? And I was listening to an expert on the news. I remember last year when it was coming around, they were saying, it's only 11 o'clock. I got plenty of time. All right, this clock says 11 o'clock. The experts were saying, if it comes out far enough, what happens? You lose your cell phone, lose satellite capability. It can knock out electrical grids. It can be some serious stuff. And you'll find, if you do the research, that there's more sun flares flying off. Let me give you one more. Remember last year in Russia, there was a 55-foot rock that entered into Earth's atmosphere over Russia, and it weighed an estimated 10,000 tons. This is only 55 feet wide. and probably about the width of the church, somewhere around there. And it comes barreling into the Earth's atmosphere at 44,000 miles an hour. NASA estimated that the energy released by that meteor, and it disintegrated in the atmosphere for the most part, was 500 kilotons, or 30 times the size of the nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima in 1945. A priest in that area that saw it could be seen for 125 miles. It injured a lot of people, broke a lot of windows. I don't think there was any fatalities, but the shock waves injured 1,200 people and did damage to thousands of homes. A priest in the area there said, "It is an act of God. And I believe it." John the Revelator put it like this. He said, "The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs and the waters. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and the third of the waters became Wormwood, and many died from the waters because of man." Now that's just, and I'm moving on. I'm not going to dwell on that. But listen, I'm not trying to scare you unless maybe you need scared. I'm trying to make you realize Jesus is coming. And I'm excited about it. Now, and I want to give you this last thing right here. I'm close, I promise. You know, Daniel in this context, and we talked a little bit about Daniel when we started this series. But in this context that this verse is given, Daniel has been writing a prophecy for about three chapters. The archangel has been giving it to him. And he, two chapters rather, and Daniel is told by the archangel, he says, "Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Now let's just think about that for a minute, because there's two ways to look at this. I prefer the latter way. First way is this. You know, we live in a time when there is absolutely no doubt knowledge has increased, right? Think about medically, scientifically, engineering, you know, the speed of which people can travel, medical science. Alex talked about it this morning, what great things medical. There's a lot of people here that have been blessed by the strides that medical science has made. A lot of you have your jobs because of medical science. So it's a great thing, and we would never discount those. And certainly, I think with, you know, as you make strides in population and as you move forward, knowledge is just something that, you know, you get as you go, as you learn. And so that's a given. And you know, think about cell phones and computers and where we were just 50 years ago and where we are. Some of you that are older, you can think back to the beginning of your life and what you had in your homes and think about what you have now, and you see how far we have come as far as knowledge and all of that. But let me give you the way I think it means, and then I will close. You see, this context is given to Daniel in the context of a prophecy. And it is a prophecy about the last days. The angel tells him to shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Now, here's the way I look at it. And I could be wrong, but this is the way I look at it. See, I think many today are running to and fro looking for answers to what's going on in the world in which we live. I believe that, don't you? Maybe you're here today because you're looking for answers. And maybe they have escaped you up till now. Maybe you've been wondering what's going on. You know what? It does not take a rocket science, and it does not take somebody with about six letters behind their name to look at the world in which we live and realize something is going on in this world. Can I get a witness? Something's going on in this world. I'm going to tell you what it is. The devil's on a rampage, and Jesus is coming soon. The signs are all around us, and I have just scratched the surface. I don't have time to get into this. Many are looking for answers. Then he says, "And knowledge shall increase." Now we looked at that in the you know, a secular way, I suppose we could call it. But let me give it to you in another way, because here's what I think it means. I think understanding about what's happening in the last days is now increasing. I think the Word of God is more knowable because God has revealed things not only with history, with things that we see fulfilled in prophecy from Daniel's prophecy and even what Jesus gave us, as we've already said. But I believe right now we have an understanding of the last days that we've never had before. And I believe that's what he's talking about. Many are looking for answers. And the realization that the last days are here, I believe, has come. And so, and again, I don't know that he will come today. He might. I don't know that he'll come 20 years from now. He might. But I do know that he's coming. And so my closing statement to you is this. Are you searching for answers? Are you running to and fro? I would tell you today, you need to look no further. Because the truth of the matter is this. The answers are contained in this book. And I hope I have given you some credibility, and what I've given you has credibility to you, because it is all backed up by the Word of God. And again, I would be available to talk. Ask me anything you'd want to about it. I can go into detail. But if you're here today and the coming of Jesus worries you, then perhaps you need to take an inward look at your life and see if everything's okay with you and the Lord. If you've been searching for answers, you will not find what you're looking for in religion, okay? You will not find what you're looking for in philosophy. You will not find what you're looking for out of what Hollywood spews out. You will not find it. You know, I know some of the folks went and seen the movie Son of God. That's great. I'm glad. But I told somebody the other day, I said, the book is always better. Amen? The book. Have you ever seen a movie on any, and you read the book, maybe went and seen the movie, and you go, man, the book was better. I'm going to tell you what, the book is better. Not that I have anything against going to see Son of God, don't get me wrong, but the book has the answers. So if you maybe fall in that category where you're running to and fro looking for answers, I ask you today to consider this, that Jesus Christ not only loves you, but he died for you, and he wants to come into your life and change you from the inside. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence today, for the love of God, for the Word of God, so powerful, able, Lord, to get right inside of us and see where we live and illuminate areas where we need to do better in. Lord, may we move up to that. And there may be some here today that are running to and fro in a figurative way. They're looking for answers. They're looking for what I've been telling them, perhaps in another avenue or another way. They'll not find it. Only you have what we need. As the disciple said to you, Lord, you have the words to eternal life. Who else can we go to? There's no one. Lord, we look to you. We thank you. And we ask you to steer our hearts today to this truth, to help us to get a hold of this, God, that you're coming again, Lord Jesus. And you're coming for a church that's looking for you, that has been purchased and washed in the blood of Jesus. May we have that blood applied, because that's the protection that we need. In Jesus' name. Amen.